My name's John Elliott, and this is a podcast from the Insights in Jazz series, www.dropback.co.uk.
So for this week's Insights in Jazz podcast, I thought it'd be nice to, for a change, to talk to someone who uses the method and get their take on it. So here's someone I'm talking to on the telephone I've never met before, all the way from San Francisco, California, USA. And I'm talking to...
My name is Eugene Pliner.
Hi, Eugene. Thanks. Thanks for sparing some time. Could you tell us, can you tell us a bit about yourself, about your playing and so on?
Well, you know, like, I've been playing piano about, I don't know, 30 years or some. And, you know, I'm playing gigs around town, you know, San Francisco. You know, been playing jazz for quite a while. You know, if you go Eugene Pliner on the YouTube, you'll find some of my, you know, some of my playing anyway. And I like the method. No, I think it's a great system. And it, you know, helps me. And I don't think I learned all of it yet. You know, I'm like maybe like three quarters there, you know.
And so how did you come across the method in the first place?
I got a Conrad's book first.
Okay, and, yeah.
Then I got into your book.
And so how long have you been trying to use this method?
I want to say about 2 years. And about 2-3 months, you know, I think I was able to take a song like Cherokee, like through the 12 keys actually, you know, on the gig.
Do you find that you, I mean, is playing in 12 keys something that you need to do often on your gigs?
You know, I don't have to do it. I mean, in fact, many musicians, they're like, oh, you know, why do you do that? You know, but I like to push myself, you know. It's good to be able to do that, you know. It's very useful to be able to do it, you know, especially when you work with singers and stuff.
So you're a pianist, right? So you find yourself accompanying singers quite a lot?
If I know the song, you see, if I know the song, then it's no problem. Like, you know, Autumn Leaves or something like that. I can play, you know, most keys probably. But yeah, some songs are like more difficult to transpose than others. Like, and if you don't do it constantly, you're sort of losing it. If you can thing in terms of bricks, it's good, and joints, and some tunes like Cherokee or something, those are like easy to transpose, you know. And then there'll be, of course, other tunes that'll be more difficult to keep track of, you know. All the things you are, maybe it's a little bit more challenging, you know. Yeah, as I say, I'm like three quarters of the way there, you know. Like, you know, dog leg, sidewinder, you know, as you, like you saying, some of them mean more to me than others. It's just the way it is, you know. That's why I'm waiting for your podcast to share some light on, you know, the rest of the joints or bricks, you know.
Yeah. Have you found that it's made a difference to your playing? Have you noticed that you play differently, thinking in this way?
Yeah, that's a good question, because if I know the tune, like, you know, if I can analyze in terms of bricks and stuff and joints, I can see a big picture, you know, more clearly. And I can do the pedals, you know, I see the large picture. In other words, I can, I don't worry about every bar of the song, you know, I can just like pedal the whole 16 bars, you know. I know where I am, in other words, just because I see the big picture instead of like...
Right. So getting lost is a much less common event. That's what I found anyway.
Yeah. Now you have to find out what to play, you know, all the licks and all that stuff, you know, if you want to...
I think that's a good point. I mean, there's obviously playing jazz, there's an awful lot of work to do. This method only really addresses part of that, but it really helps, I think, and then you can just focus on things like technique and whatever else you want to. But I think one of the real, for me, one of the real things is it frees your mind up.
Yeah, exactly. You're more relaxed on the bandstand, and you like let the things go by. You don't worry because you know exactly where you are. You don't get lost. You can focus on different things, like, as I say, you know, pedals are very important.
That's right. I mean, I was playing last night, and in the past I have played the song Secret Love, but I've always used music because I've never actually got around to learning it. And doing the podcast last week for Secret Love meant that I did actually know the song because I'd learned it, and I played it on my gig last night. And it's so different from reading it, because for years I've known what that song sounds like. But I've never got around to learning it, and so having very quickly learned it to do the podcast meant that I played so much better on it last night than if I was reading it. I mean, do you find yourself using music much, sheet music on gig?
I'd say it depends what songs, you know. If I don't know the songs, then I have to use the music.
Yeah.
I think Lego Bricks, to me right now, you know, it has limitations, you know. For instance, you know, if like the other day, if I had to play a song like Speak No Evil, right, Wayne Shorter.
Yes.
So then it's like, okay, I haven't learned that tune yet, so I have the music in front of me. What can I say?
Yeah. No, it's a very good point. The method is not well suited to modern jazz, I would say. I mean, it's really good for standard, you know, what I call the American songbook standards.
Yeah.
But the kind of like, yeah, Wayne Shorter in particular, when he started deliberately writing things that weren't kind of based on cliched chord progressions, just to escape from that American songbook, then by definition, it's very hard to map it out because it's deliberately avoiding cliches.
Yeah, exactly. But there is a vast big repertoire, you know, of American songbook, you know, that has to be learned. So yeah. I find this method very, very useful, you know.
Do you use? I'm interested to know whether you know the Insights in Jazz appendix with the 238 songs in it. Do you use that? You know, do you use the fact that you can electronically search through that to look for where, you know, patterns occur across the whole repertoire? Have you tried using that?
When I find a song in your glossary, whatever you call it, sometimes I see like autumn cadence, you know, autumn cadence, then I have to search and find out what that means, you know. I think by now I remember what that means already, but when you forget, then you have to go back, and it's pretty easy to navigate there and find things. Yes.
When I was analyzing all these songs and making the roadmaps, what I found was I started to remember patterns that I'd seen before in different songs. But of course, when you're building it yourself, then of course you're doing that work and you're learning stuff. I wasn't sure whether readers would benefit in a different way by actually, you know, electronically searching for the same brick name and seeing which songs it occurs in, that sort of thing. I don't know whether people use it like that or not.
Just for the, as far as the, I just need to refresh myself. I needed explanation wise, you know, some of the terms, you know, I have to go back in your glossary and find that. Like on and off, okay. So I go and I look it up and I know what it is.
Okay,
I have to mention one thing though. The podcast is great, you know. For some reason, you know, this is the first time I really understood what on was.
Right.
And it clicked with my brain when you said on is. It's the key center, you know?
Right.
It's a key center. That's what it is, you know, a new key or yeah, it's a key center. And when you hear it somehow, you know, sometimes clicks better than when you're reading it.
Absolutely. No, that's really good to know. I think a podcast is kind of like a halfway to proper teaching.
Yes.
Learning music from a book is quite hard, really. I think learning concepts from a book is quite hard as well.
So some people, it's like they learn orally better than visually. I mean, yeah, visually. It's like when you read the book is one thing, of course, but when you hear it,
It's
better, I think, for me anyway.
Of the concept and on the piano, you know, and I think that, connecting to the sounds is really important.
Yeah, this is what I just want to say that it was great that you, on The Secret Love, you know, the last session on podcast, it's great that you, at the end of the session, you actually played the whole song. And that was like, okay, you know, I listened to this song over and over and over, and I try to hear it, you know, rather than mentally, one thing to understand it mentally, but to actually hear it with your ears, you know, it's different, you know, different experience.
Yeah. Okay, well, Eugene, I it's been very good of you to spare some of your time to make this podcast, and I hope you have a good day.
You too. Thank you very much for calling me.
My name is John Elliott. I'm the author of Insights in Jazz, which is available from www.dropback.co.uk. If you've got any questions you'd like to ask about the podcast or the method in the book or any suggestions you'd like to make for future podcasts, then please contact me by emailing me at john@dropback.co.uk. If you found this podcast useful and you'd like to leave a tip, then you can visit the website where there's a PayPal donate button. Thanks for listening.